Well, good morning. Welcome. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. It's Oscar night. So you know Nick always takes Oscar night off because he has been watching, critiquing, making notes. And tomorrow night when he is here, or tomorrow morning when he is here, he will go over the Oscars as only Nick can. Tonight we will do some of that. Because, you know, it was a big broadcast. I watched it. Maybe you did, too. So we always welcome you at 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. When you call in, of course, you'll be talking to Dan Shugru, the executive producer of the Nick DiGilio program. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's also the text line. On social media, it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to get a hold of us that way, we're going to talk about that. We're going to check in with our good friend Fred Weintraub after 4 o'clock. He is over in the U.K., and we'll talk to him about the things that are going on over there. Oh, maybe you saw the other day. We had Henry and the two royal couples. I always get them confused. I get very, Meghan Markle and Prince Henry.
They're
Harry. Then there's Prince Bob. I have to... Dan, this is a behind inside baseball. I don't have the right station up there. I can't see Vic or Esmeralda or anybody.
Gotcha.
I don't know what's going on. I heard Esmeralda laugh, but I don't know if she's really there, if that's just some sort of laugh track that she puts in so she can leave Traffic Central and go do whatever it is that she would want. Yeah, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And then there's Prince William and Kate. Those are the other two. There's four of them, and they're quite a team. All four of them. So they were out doing stuff, and there's snow in England. So we're going to do that. Well, the big question, should you nap at work? And judging from the start of the program, I was going to say, yeah, a nap would probably be pretty good. Oh, Dan can't fix it either. That's just adding to your weekend. How was your weekend, Esmeralda? I know you hosted yesterday morning.
I did.
How did that go? You
it
and John
well.
Hansen?
Yeah, me and John, we did... We talked Oscars.
Of course.
Oscar predictions and all that. And we also talked to a veteran. His name was Carter.
Carter?
Yes, he was Carter. He was with an organization called Lift for 22.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, I saw the Facebook post for that.
Yeah, so Carter Davis.
Very nice.
But yeah, he was a retired Navy guy, and his thing was getting gym memberships for veterans.
Oh, cool.
Because it's a way to transition to, you know, a healthy lifestyle, because sometimes when you come back, it's hard to... just live a little healthier, you know. You kind of have to try to get back into living amongst us mere mortals.
Us flabby mortals.
Yeah, us flabby mortals. And, you know, so it helps them. You know, it helps.
Oh, that's cool.
When you work out and stuff, it's you know, everything, mind, body.
Right. Yeah, it would help with an adjustment if you're feeling
exactly.
a little down. You
mm-hmm.
know, sometimes that working out and
so, yeah, his,
exercise does
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, so his organization helps with that in the veteran community.
That's very nice. Now, you were seeing, in preparation for your Oscar talk last night, I saw
yes.
on social media, you were trying to see all 10 of the, or see as many Academy Award nominated films as you could in like 3 days?
Yeah, not even 3 days. I started... Friday with just
I was
like,
going to say when I was here for, late Thursday night I don't think you had begun your quest had
no
you?
I just had time
okay
time on Friday and I was like, you know what, maybe I should watch them. And it's just a thing, like I get into moods,
yeah,
and I just usually don't like watching movies because okay. I think I could be doing something else.
It is, and a lot of the movies seem to be getting longer. Is
yeah.
it just me, or every movie's like 2.5 hours?
Oh gosh, yeah, I just can't. 2 hours plus movies and stuff like that, I start to get a little antsy.
Yeah,
but I'm in my house, so I started watching a bunch of movies, and most of the time I was laying in bed, which pretty it helped.
Do you stay awake? See, I couldn't do that. I would be completely passed out.
I was actually, well, the movies that I watched, I was, for the most part, engaged.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I have to ask, because I have Shape of Water at home. And I know you watched it, and I know it won Best Picture.
I loved it.
Did you?
I really enjoyed it. But, so, I think I remember when you were talking to your guy who
yeah.
was reviewing. Did he say it was like Amelie? Or akin to
he
Amelie?
Asked if I had seen Amelie,
yeah.
Which I had not.
Have you seen any of those movies?
No, Pan's Labyrinth. Like, I haven't seen
No. In the 2000s, I remember, early 2000s, I think it was, Amelie came out. There was a bunch of other movies that were all French movies, but they had this kind of aesthetic of like everything kind of seemed a little fantasy like, a little slightly cartoonish, but you're still in the real world, and
probably
it's all these very
not.
Different characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's this like whimsical aspect
okay.
to it, and that reminded me very much, or this movie reminded me of that. So like Amelie is very much this woman, she's in her head, she sees like little things dance, not like she's hallucinating,
okay.
but just things
not
come
like
to life.
Not like a cartoon where you
right.
get hit in the head and then the birds are
yeah.
flying
around.
Yeah,
she has an overactive imagination right. and there's all these very eccentric characters around her and stuff like that. And yeah, everything does look a little, it's styled in a very cartoonish way.
Okay, and that's what that's how you felt about The Shape of Water?
It felt, there was that kind of inkling in there. And it's like the 40s, 50s.
Sure.
So you kind of, everyone has little cute bobs and everyone's in little skirts.
And
woman. You know, and like the 40s skirts and all that kind
of. Woman falls in love with a fish man. That's basically
she
the
does.
Thing. Okay. Because I said to my, once it won, as I was leaving the house, I said to my wife, you know, we have this and we have Moonlight, which won last year for Best Picture. I have this, I didn't watch that one either. I said we could do a double feature of two best mm-hmm. films that we haven't watched. She goes, I have no desire to see Shape of Water. It's like, really? It's down in the basement. It's not like we even have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
We just walk downstairs. Nope.
I
no
honestly,
desire.
I too was a little like, oh, this is going to be weird. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, this is a very sweet movie.
Yeah, it got the, oh, it's weird review from my daughter, but everything does.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'll watch it one of these days.
I
Vic,
honestly,
did you
the
see
whole
it?
Fish thing, I didn't think it was that
no,
much.
No, I'm like you. Just a little strange to me, the whole premise.
Yeah, well, I get, Guillermo del Toro, that's his deal. He's kind of he's got strange premises and a very vivid imagination, and you know. But he won. That was
congratulations.
Congrats to him. It was
he's listening.
Big win. Sure, he is because yeah. he could be at the governor's ball right now. But why? He's probably back in his room, looking through apps.
No, he's got you know, the app going with the headphones.
Sure,
he's at the party, but he's listening.
Do you think he's dressed as the fish guy? Did the fish guy have a name so I don't keep calling him the fish
no.
guy? No,
he was a creature,
an anonymous creature.
Yeah, because so the woman in it, the main character, she's mute.
Right, that I knew.
So she can't give him a name.
Oh.
She does all sign language.
The crazy scientist didn't give him a name?
No.
Wow.
No, because he's just a thing
just
to them.
They don't, yeah, he's yeah. just an experiment.
And he can't talk.
Oh.
Because he's a fish thing.
So they're two mutes. He and the lady.
Well, he
are both.
Just makes kind of like, you know,
fish
noise. Fish like.
Fish man sounds?
Weird. Kind of dolphin-y. Not so, you know, not like.
Sure, well, listen, Porter.
All out dolphin, but you know.
Porter could understand Flipper when he talked to him, so I guess it makes
sense. Well,
she
understood him.
Sure, because love is the universal language, Esmeralda.
Yes.
Even between a woman and a fish creature.
They felt very much, you know, she felt very much like that fish man.
Sure, trapped and, you know, prodded. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you enjoyed it. What was your, was that your favorite out of the ones you saw?
Out of the ones that I saw, that... I think that, yeah, that was my favorite. Well, I saw Coco.
Okay.
And that, okay, that one's one, and then Shape of Water.
Ah, very nice.
And mm-hmm. then Mudbound.
How was Mudbound?
Oh my gosh, I was a blubbering mess.
Really?
It's just so much.
Okay.
It's good, but it's so much. You have to prepare yourself. I didn't know it was, I didn't know, and I was on my couch just sobbing snot.
Oh my
everywhere.
God.
Yeah.
Ugly cry.
I get real emotional too.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with Coco. The second, so it's a Disney movie.
Sure. So the Buena Vista, the big castle.
Yeah, but they
comes
had
up.
The Mexican flag on top. I just started
oh, nice.
Crying.
Well, I would
I just
imagine.
Started falling. I was like, oh, God.
For anyone who, you know, when you find, as a, and you're not a kid, but it's important for kids and adults who maybe have never seen themselves represented in these movies to finally see that, I think it's great.
Yeah, and it's very much something, you know, I didn't, you know, all the stuff in it, and it's just like little things, like the grandparents, and,
yeah.
and I saw a lot of my family.
That's
in that
terrific.
Movie.
Now, and I had heard great things about that. Vic, do you watch, are you a movie guy at all? Did you care about the Oscars tonight?
Look, I didn't watch the Oscars,
night?
Just mainly because I had to get up to go to work this
sure.
morning. But yeah, I love watching movies. I don't It's not a hobby that I get to indulge in that often, though.
All right. Yeah, me either. And it's a shame. I used to, when I was on the road all the time, that was one of my vices. I had a few. But going to the movies all the time, I would go see like 3 movies a week because I would be able to go in the afternoon when nobody else was in the theater, which is still my preferred way to go to the movies. I'll go with my wife, but she knows it's grudgingly.
I think it's kind of fun to go in the middle of the day.
Oh, I love it.
No one's there.
You just walk in.
Yep. And there's nobody screaming and yelling, making noise. There's nobody crinkling wrappers. I don't have to be upset because people are ruining my experience. Because if I want noise while I'm watching a movie, I'll just stay home.
Right.
And the dogs will bark and the phone will ring and, you know, everything. I can be distracted. But when I go into a theater, I want to be immersed in that experience.
You throw your coat on the chairs next to you?
Yeah. Oh, man. You're spread out. You do the wide sit.
Yeah, you get the whole row to yourself.
Right, you can move in the middle of the movie if you want. I don't like this seat anymore. I'm moving up close. I'm going to head back. Dan, did you sleep through the Oscars or were you?
I slept through. Well, no, I was putting our daughters to bed, so I saw bits and pieces of it. Yeah. So, but not the full broadcast.
Do you have a good weekend? You seem tired.
I am a little tired. Both of our girls were battling bugs. So we were up and down all night for a couple nights, but they're on the mend. So
see, and the problem when kids get sick is there are other kids. Because, you know, your kids go to school, they go to daycare, wherever they go during the day, whatever kids are up to during the day, I don't trust, they're all doing something sketchy.
Nefarious.
But yeah, they're out running around with other kids who are just sneezing and coughing and fluids are flying everywhere and there's no hygienic self-control when it comes to young children.
Not at all.
They're just fonts of just horrible disease. Is everything okay?
Everything's good. They're on the mend. I will tell you that I was never a hand sanitizer guy.
Yeah.
I am now.
Oh, you got to go to like Costco or Sam's and get the jumbo, the industrial 55-gallon drum of hand sanitizer. Yeah. I try to, before I go into school during the day, I like just dip myself in it. So I kind of look like the creature from Shape of Water as I walk down the hall. I'm just kind of a little bit slimy. I leave a snail trail, but Mr. Noonan is not getting covered. But I go into Friday. Speaking of school and diseases, I go into school Friday, and I was supposed to be in one classroom, but I get there, and the secretary says, "Listen, we have nine teachers out today. So we've moved you into kindergarten." Which is not, I don't mind. I've been in kindergarten a lot. I like kindergarten, except I was operating on 3 hours sleep. Then I get into the kindergarten classroom, and another kindergarten teacher comes in, and we're going over the schedule for today, and I'm looking at the plans. She says, yeah, usually after lunch, your class would come in. Well, it was Dr. Seuss Day, and we were going to watch some Dr. Seuss movies. But your class can't come in because there's been a head lice problem in this class this week. And I'm like, how skeevy. And I said, when did this happen? Because I was in there on Tuesday. Not in kindergarten, but upstairs in second grade. And they said, yeah, it started, they found him Tuesday afternoon. The letter went home Wednesday. It should be pretty much taken care of. And all I could think of was, the little kids, they just want to rub up on, not rub up on you, but they'll like run up to hug you. And it's, every kid I looked at, I was like, ew. And I was sitting doing like reading centers or math centers. So I was sitting at a little table with a bunch of kids. And so every kid came over and they want to sit right next to you. And I'm like, yeah. Every kid, I could just see, like, I know it wasn't happening, but I could see things just jumping off their little heads. And
Start to get the itchy feeling?
Yes. Yes. Ugh, all day.
Worst.
All day, Esmeralda, I just kept thinking, I wanted to shave all their heads. I didn't think that would be, I thought that would be frowned upon, though.
Do they hose you off as you walk out?
I take a Silkwood shower.
It's like one of those tents.
Yes.
And they just spray you down.
It's just like you see in the movies, an outbreak. They come by and the huge chemical showers blast on me, and then I'm immediately shot to my car in a pneumatic tube. Because I don't want to go back outside and risk running into one of these little petri dishes on the street. So it's just, yeah. So I was dealing with lice and sleep deprivation. And then kids just, again, this is how your daughters get sick. Other kids just hacking on them.
Yeah.
I'm surprised every teacher, your lovely wife's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she's not sick nonstop.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that as a teacher, you're building up immunity because or else you'd just be dead.
Yeah.
Teacher, they'd have to get new staffs every 6 months.
Luckily, she's fifth grade, so they're a little they're hygienic in certain areas.
Right.
And so,
if you can get past the smell of fifth grade, right, then everything else right. usually falls
they,
into
At least
place.
They wash their hands.
It's the rest of their body that has the funk on it. Get that funk off, you young child. Oh, man, oh, man. It's the joy of children
yep.
and having them around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, and Esmeralda, you thought you had it rough here. You don't have kids with head lice and blowing snot on you. Vic,
this
you
is
don't
paradise.
Even, yeah, even in the newsroom. I doubt Roger leaves, you know, all kinds of, you know, funk all over everything.
No. Not really. Yeah.
He seems to be spraying
He's
stuff
He's
pretty
down. Tidy, yeah.
He's very tidy. He's, you know, everybody's tidy.
We do have our assortment of people who are very, who are germophobic, so they clean and clean and clean this place, which helps out a great deal.
Yeah, they must not be in here, because the keyboard for this computer looks like a homicide scene. There is, there's crust, Dan, on most of the keys that I have to touch. That's why I'm going to have to go with, like, a straw to if I have to type anything. It is if I were a germaphobe, I would have left because there. It's like people are eating yogurt with their fingers and fried chicken and then trying to work the computer. I don't know what goes on in here when I'm not around.
I'm not saying anything, but Esmeralda loves those two things.
Yogurt and fried chicken.
Where did you operate
yeah,
from
you,
on Saturday
night? I actually just go in there every night before anyone shows up, and I smear fried chicken and yogurt all over the
just so
just
you
a
know,
nice coating.
I'm going to take a picture of this
like
during
a marinade.
The break, and I'm going to post it so people don't think I'm just exaggerating, which I might be.
You should bring your own.
Bring my own
keyboard.
Sure. Why do I just broadcast from home if I got to bring my own equipment? Well, then I wouldn't get to see you guys, but. You know, at some point, I'm going to be John Travolta in a bubble.
Oh, that would be good. And then you just have the gloves that come out. And you,
sure.
Yeah,
and the gloves come out and work the board. And then I go back in. I'm in my little... it's a hazmat suit.
Actually,
going back to your outbreak
analogy.
Yeah, I was
going to say, I think that's better for the school classroom than
oh,
the radio.
Well, listen.
And you entertain the kids. They'll just push you around for a couple hours.
And these guards on the microphone, it's like looking into the maw of death. It's just you look in there and you see the disease clinging to it, just reaching out to you like one of the undead in The Walking Dead, just trying to grab me and pull me in. I'm sorry, 870. They said we were making my head itch from 498 miles away. All right. Well, listen, we're going to switch it up. Did you watch the Oscars? What'd you think? 312-981-7200. We'll do a little Oscar talk after this on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick D. Nick taking the night off, as he always does, on Oscar Sunday so that he can formulate his critiques and enjoy the broadcast. I'm sure he did, and he will talk to you all about that tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about the Oscars. Vic did not watch because he was smart and went to bed, which is what I should have done. And yet I thought to myself, well, I'll go down. I had a glass of wine with dinner, and I thought that usually puts me to sleep. So I'll go down. I'll sit in the big chair. I'll watch the Oscars, and I'll snooze. I had asked my wife to make sure I was up at 10. Well, I never fell asleep. And it wasn't that the broadcast was that enthralling. It was an Oscars broadcast. There were some highlights. There was some stuff that, I still, after all these years, I do not enjoy the big breaks for the musical numbers, for the nominated songs. I understand they want to perform them, and the people who write them and perform them are very talented. That's just, for me, that slows the broadcast down. But overall, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a great job again. There were some people, and the worst thing you can do during any kind of broadcast like this is go on social media to see what people are saying, because social media is it's a cauldron of hate. That's all it is. There's nothing good happening on social media. And people, first of all, do you guys remember when it became the chic thing to do to claim that you don't watch the Academy Awards, you've never watched the Academy Awards, these Hollywood's elitists are just trying to jam their agenda down your throat, I haven't watched in years. I saw more comments like that from people who were still commenting on the broadcast, despite the fact that they swore they had never watched the Academy Awards and never would watch the Academy Awards because they don't need to be told by some millionaire how to think. And I was like, well, kind of got that during the election. Anyway, but, you know, it's so political. And now you watched it, Esmeralda, right?
I did, for the most part.
Did you think it was overly political?
No.
I didn't either. I was expecting, quite frankly, expecting more political stuff from Kimmel. He did a lot of stuff on, like, the Me Too movement and all that. And we're going to hear a little of Jimmy's comments on the other side of the news. But that's you know, the big issue, not only everywhere, but it's started in Hollywood. It's blown up from Hollywood. So that's what they were addressing the most. They were addressing inclusion, which I don't know how people would be against inclusion. But, you know, there's some people who don't like that. They don't want to include people. Keep people out. The only people I don't want to include, snot-nosed kids who are going to blow things on me. Those kids stay away. Keep those kids in a box till they get to be 14. But everybody else, you know. So they talked about inclusion. They talked, there was one mention of Dreamers by a couple of presenters. There was, you know, more of the Me Too and Time's Up stuff. But there was no, you know, I don't see how human rights are a liberal agenda that are trying to be forced down anybody's throats. I think they're more of a human agenda, which we all should try to aspire to, and yet some people didn't like it. But it was those people. So I don't know. Do you remember when the turning point came? Was there in your lifetime, were there people who still looked forward to the Academy Awards? I mean, I still look forward to them. I'm not as crazed as I used to be, but I still enjoy it. You know, sometimes, listen, I'm like everybody else. Sometimes you just want to go, all right, stop. You know, but not tonight. There was never really a point where I thought anybody was droning on or being real heavy handed. There was one joke that the presenter who was when right before they performed the song from Coco that was nominated, the guy who was introducing that song tried to make a joke about the wall that fell flat. He didn't. It wasn't a well thought out joke. I think he just tried to jam that in, and that didn't work. But overall, I didn't think it was overly political. I want to know what you think. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk more about the Oscars. We'll hear some of Jimmy Kimmel's material. And then what I think was the highlights acceptance speech of the night. We'll do all of that on the other side. But right now, Vic is chomping at the bit to do the news because it's 2:30. So here's Vic Vaughn. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN in for Nick this morning. Talking about the Oscars, I want to know what you thought. Was there somebody who won that you were excited by their speech? Was there something that you thought, that didn't really work for me? Jump on in. You can call. You can text. You can send a carrier pigeon. You can stand outside the Tribune Tower and just shout. We won't hear you because we're on the seventh floor. But if that's how you want to operate, that's fine. As I said, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a nice job. I like Jimmy Kimmel on a regular basis. So when he got the chance to do this for the second year, I thought it was a good pick. He started out going after what you would imagine were some of the targets that were ripe for picking at the Oscars this year.
And greetings from Hollywood to our viewers all around the world. Thank you for watching. Thank you for having me. It is a great honor to be invited back for a second time. It's a great honor to be here among so many talented women and men. Congratulations to all of you. You made it. We're at the Oscars. Some of you will be going home tonight with an Academy Award. What could be better than that? Nothing, right? So, I do want to mention, this year, when you hear your name called, don't get up right away. Just give us a minute. We don't want another thing. What happened last year was unfortunate. I've not told the story in public because I wanted to save it for tonight, but here's what happened. This is true. Last year, about a week before the show, the producers asked me if I wanted to do some comedy with the accountants, and I said, no, I don't want to do comedy with the accountants. So then the accountants went ahead and did comedy on their own. And I have to hand it to them. It was hilarious, but it won't happen again. This year, the chairman of PricewaterhouseCoopers said, and I quote, our singular focus will be on the show and delivering the correct envelopes, which is does make sense. Just out of curiosity, though, what was your focus the other 89 years? I'm hopeful that things will go smoothly tonight. We can't ruin this one. This is a special year. This is a big one. These are the 90th Academy Awards. This is history happening right here.
Yeah.
Oscar is 90 years old tonight, which means he's probably at home right now watching Fox News. Of course, no, Oscar is here with us. After all the years, after all the awards given for achievements in show business, Oscar is still number one, no question about it. Oscar is the most beloved and respected man in Hollywood, and there's a very good reason why. Just look at him. Keeps his hands where you can see them. Never says a rude word. And most importantly, no penis at all. He is literally a statue of limitations. And that's the kind of men we need more of in this town.
Could be the very first penis joke made in the Oscars opening monologue. I believe in 90 years, that was the first one. And it I thought it was funny. Now, not again. You hear those first 2 minutes, nothing overly political there. Mentioned Fox News and somebody being 90, but that's, you know, I don't think that was targeted at anyone in particular. And he made reference to this. And I thought it was nice that they brought Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty back. But I got to be honest, and this I know this is so superficial. Some of these actresses, Faye Dunaway, one of them, some actresses you know have some procedures and they still look kind of natural. And some people have, and men and women too, have procedures that are really make them look more fake than natural. Like Jane Fonda has admitted to having work. She doesn't have that severe look to her. Faye Dunaway, her face doesn't move. And, you know, Faye Dunaway probably would have aged naturally to be a very beautiful older woman. But we'll never know, because now she's like a mannequin. And again, that's just, I know that's a superficial thing, but let's be honest. Isn't that the first thing we notice when somebody walks out? You go, ah, what'd they have done?
Yeah, does their forehead still move, or is it?
Nothing really moved. Even her mouth. And I know she had a very unique accent her whole career. But now it was coming out of a clenched jaw, like she was some sort of puppet. It was very strange. And Sandra Bullock made mention of that, too, when she was presenting the lighting award and asked them to keep turning the lights down so she could be 30 again. It's like, okay. All right, Esmeralda, I got to get a female perspective on this.
Mm-hmm.
What's with the raccoon eyes? What's with the really dark? Because Sandra Bullock, very good actress, talented woman. She had like almost like she was trying to play linebacker, but instead of putting the stuff under her eyes, she smeared it all over her eyes. Did you notice that? She had like that, smoky eye, but it was crazy.
That is what a smoky eye is.
Yeah, but not usually the smoky eye is just on top, right?
Like, no, they do a little bit under as well.
Well, she did. She went crazy. She like spatulated on. She forest fired eyed. She didn't just go smoky eye. She went full blown forest fire. Is that a good look?
I mean, it depends. It depends on what you're trying to go for.
I don't know. What do you think she was going for?
Well, because you can do a more subtle one.
Yeah, well,
but it's the Oscars, so you want to, and especially if you're going to be on that stage, you want something very dramatic.
You want it to pop? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess she did. That was the first impression when I saw her on the red carpet, and then when I saw her present, I was like, "What's going on with her eyes? Somebody made a makeup boo boo." But that's why I'm not a makeup artist, because I wouldn't have, you know. I wouldn't have gone, hey, let's...
And because your smoky eyes are always on fleck?
They're on point. They're on fleek. Not fleck. It's fleek.
I thought it was Esmeralda.
Is that right, Esmeralda? It's on fleek. On fleck. Wasn't that a Chevy Chase movie where he was a reporter?
Wow.
No, that was Fletch. On fleck. You are tired.
Are you trying to do your new thing? That's a new thing you're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to bust out the hip.
You're trying
language.
To bring that in?
Yeah.
You're trying to get the lingo like
trying
the kids
to
have it?
Pull in that 25 to 34-year-old.
Listen,
fleek is so out. It's fleck now.
Is that right? Fleck. It's like fetch. Nobody's ever going to do fleck, Dan. No matter how much you try, we're never going to say fleck. We're staying with fleek. And we're not even staying with that because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the second you said it,
It's sounded
it's
even
out.
Worse. Oh, sure. Oh, I know that. That's why I try to find terms that I hate and then say them so people will stop using them. That's my evil plan. I think it sounds dumb, so I'm going to say it, and then everybody will go, oh, that boy, that is dumb. Look at, he's saying it now. We can't say that anymore. Let's hear a little more from Jimmy Kimmel, shall we? Or maybe not. That's all right.
Okay, before we start handing out the awards, some history, because we're going to do things a little bit differently. The first Oscar ceremony lasted, and this is true, 15 minutes from beginning to end.
That'd have been nice.
And people still complain. But so if you do win an Oscar tonight, we want you to give a speech. We want you to say whatever you feel needs to be said. Speak from the heart. We want passion. You have an opportunity and a platform to remind millions of people about important things like equal rights and equal treatment. If you want to encourage others to join the amazing students in Parkland at their march on the 24th, do that. If you want to thank a favorite teacher, do that. Or maybe you just want to thank your parents and tell your kids to go to sleep. What you say is entirely up to you. You don't have to change the world. Do whatever you want. But with that said, this is a really long show. So here's what we're going to do. Not saying you shouldn't give a long speech, but whoever gives the shortest speech tonight will go home with, Johnny, tell them what they'll win.
It's a brand new jet ski. Cruising comfort on the 2018 Kawasaki Ultra 310 LX, the number one choice for watercraft enthusiasts. Retail price, $17,999. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you. Helen Mirren not included. So, there you go. Why waste precious time thanking your mom when you could be taking her for the ride of her life on a brand new jet ski?
It's a good point, Jimmy. And a lot of people, you know, tried to play it. That joke kept going through the whole show. He sweetened the deal later with a two nights, 3 days in Lake Havasu, which if you've ever been to Lake Havasu, not a bad place to have a jet ski. It is Arizona's playground. Imagine all the debauched, suntanned Arizona residents coming to a little lake. It's a lot of fun. They got a London Bridge there, replica of the London Bridge. Oh, it's fun. You ever been to Lake Havasu?
Can't say that I have.
Tell you, you're missing out. Missing out. You got to get down there. It's it's a thrill.
When, pray tell, was this? Was this comedy on the road days? Was this older and, you know?
Yeah, no, this was, I didn't really take, it was when I worked there. So they had to pay me to go there. that's where I actually made a man cry from stage.
Really?
That's right, yep. He decided he was going to heckle. He heckled my buddy through his entire act, and then I went on stage and he opened his mouth and I unleashed a torrent of abuse on him where he literally, I couldn't believe it, he literally cried.
Wow.
And then came up to me after the show and was like, you made me look like an idiot. He was like a television person, like a sportscaster in town. And, you know, Lake Havasu is like market 7,012. So, yeah, he said, you made me look like an idiot in front of everybody. I was like, no, you did that all by yourself. I just, you know, enhanced it a little bit. So, yeah, that was the...
Wow.
I know. That's my big memory of Lake Havasu. That and the fact that it was, you know, a longer drive than I thought. I drove it and then did the show and drove back. The drive back was not fun. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Sam Rockwell starts it off by winning Best Supporting Actor for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. He gave a nice speech. He said he wanted to win. But all right. I know sometimes we think that movie stars are not in touch with reality. I find it hard to believe that Sam Rockwell didn't know what a jet ski was. He was probably all caught up in the moment because he was like, I want to win the ski jet or whatever that thing was. What was that thing? I was like, really? You've never heard of a jet ski? But I got to figure he's all jacked up because he just won an Academy Award. And he gave a nice speech. He gave a shout out to Philip Seymour Hoffman at the end. I enjoyed his speech. Allison Janney made me laugh because when she won Best Supporting Actress or Best Actress, now it's Best Actress in a Supporting Role and Best Actor in a Supporting Role. She won for I, Tonya. She came up and she looked at the Oscars and said, I did it all myself. And I thought that was hilarious. And thankfully, everybody else laughed because she immediately followed up with, I was just kidding. And then she went on to give the usual speech where they thank everybody. And I guess you have to thank all your people. But for the audience watching at home, it's like, I don't need you to, you know, we don't need to know you have 72 agents. 52 managers, you got team whoever. Because she actually said Team Janny. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I know she has a team. Of course she does. She's a wildly successful actress. She's been around forever. But, you know, I don't need to hear about the team. Was there anybody that stuck out to you, Esmeralda, when you were watching the awards?
As
like the speech
when
that
they
you went,
won.
Oh, that was great. Or yeah, there's that moment where you get all, you're like, oh, that's terrific.
I mean, I like, you know, Guillermo del Toro's speech when he won best movie. And then when I saw a little bit of Jordan Peele's speech.
Yeah, Jordan Peele was very good. He won for Best Original Screenplay for Get Out, which got a rousing applause. And as Esmeralda said, Guillermo del Toro won for Best Director. And then the film Shape of Water won Best Picture. That was terrific. Gary Oldman won for The Darkest Hour as Winston Churchill. And they showed a little, I think this was on the red carpet, where they showed a picture of him dancing to James Brown made up as Winston Churchill. So he was in the makeup room as Winston Churchill, and they had James Brown on, and he was dancing. And he said in an interview, growing up, he used to listen to Motown and James Brown. And so it was funny just to see Winston Churchill busting some moves to James Brown. He was very, very good. It was very, very funny. I did enjoy when Frances McDormand won. Everybody predicted she was going to win for Three Billboards, a phenomenal film. And she came up and she did not disappoint with her speech.
Okay. So I'm hyperventilating a little bit. If I fall over, pick me up, because I've got some things to say. I think this is what Chloe Kim must have felt like after doing back-to-back 1080s in the Olympic half pipe. Did you see that? Okay, that's what it feels like. I want to thank Martin McDonagh. Look what you did. We are a bunch of hooligans and anarchists, but we do clean up nice. I want to thank every single person in this building and my sister Dorothy. I love you, Dot. And I especially want to thank my clan, Joel and Pedro Mick Cohen. These two stalwart individuals were well raised by their feminist mothers. They value themselves, each other, and those around them. I know you are proud of me, and that fills me with everlasting joy. And now I want to get some perspective.
And she set Oscar down on the stage. He's very tiny.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will. Come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers. Come on.
I think Frances has had some champagne, because
okay,
that was uncharacteristic laughing.
Because we all have stories to tell and projects we need finance. Don't talk to us about it at the parties tonight. Invite us into your office in a couple days, or you can come to ours, whichever suits you best, and we'll tell you all about them. I have two words to leave with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Inclusion rider.
There you go. So Frances McDormand bringing the heat, as she is known to do. But she did, because we don't know Frances McDormand, the laugh sounded so crazy. It's fun.
A little bit
crazy, but it sounds like she was having a good time. Some of the texters not happy with the Oscars, not happy with Jimmy Kimmel. Liberal nonsense is what they say. When people try to categorize things like that, I don't quite understand it. Why is celebrating the fact that, you know, now more women and more people other than white guys are being included? Why is that liberal? If you're a conservative, do you want to be people who, we don't want to include anybody? You know what women are good for? Cooking and making babies.
Well, because once that happens, once other people
then we don't have as much. But that's not true. See, there's enough power for everybody.
Right, and they but they're very greedy.
I know, very greedy, and it's fear. It's just like you said, Esmeralda. They're afraid, and people are afraid, and so it's easy to just lump. If I can lump everybody that I don't agree with into one category, then it's easy for me to dismiss an entire portion of the population and their ideas by just labeling them snowflakes or whatever. I think, you know, I could see if you're a conservative and the entire broadcast was making fun of the president, I could see you being, you know, sure, you could be upset by that. But there may have been, and I may have missed them, one or two references to the president. I don't remember them. I remember all the quote-unquote political stances were about inclusion and, you know, the fact that now women were not having to be harassed, or hopefully not be harassed as they were in the past, and maybe get a chance to direct, and people of color were going to get a chance to direct and be part of the game too. And the fact that, you know, you've got movies that are making money as I forget the guy who wrote The Big Sick, Camille.
Yeah.
They were doing a video montage, and he said, listen, don't do it because it's the right thing to do. Don't do it because you're including people. Do it because it'll make you rich. And bottom line is, to get people to do the right thing, sometimes you have to appeal to that level and go, listen, you may not in principle want to do the right thing, but look how much money you can make doing the right thing. And they'll go, oh, well, I guess I'm going to do the right thing. Aren't I wonderful? Well, not really, but you did what needed to be done, so that's good. That was the Oscars. It was 3.5 hours, even though they started a half hour early. It still went long. Which is there? What other way? They were doing pretty good about cutting, keeping the speeches short. Nobody went really long. I'm trying to, you know, and I hate to say cut out some of the awards, you know, that we, you know, you don't want to short shrift people, professionals who have worked very hard and earned these things. But, you know.
And they already do, because they do those technical awards, right?
They do them the day before or a couple of days before. Yeah. So.
And the songs, I think, aren't they? They're not even the whole songs.
Yeah. Oh, they do most of the song. Yeah.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, they did cut away for some of the other numbers, but or the end of it when they were doing more of the dancing. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. There's more. It's WGN. All right. On the other side of the news, we will get into an ethical dilemma. If you're wandering around the streets, we'll get your input on that. We're also a new study coming out. Should you nap at work? Dan, it's not counting you. You are not allowed to nap at work. You need to stay awake.
I will stay awake.
Because if you fall asleep, then I'm going to fall asleep. Then Esmeralda's going to fall asleep. The only one awake is going to be Vic, because he went to bed at a reasonable hour. He did not watch the Oscars in order to get sleep. He is the responsible one of the
group. Are naps contagious like yawns? I did not know this.
Sure. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to go, well, if Dan's sleeping, what do I have to stay awake for?
It's like dominoes.
Yeah. We're all, and the last one standing is going to be Vic, and then he's just going to walk over our sleeping corpses.
I don't like to be left out. I will probably join you.
You will nap too?
We'll all
right,
be sleeping, so we're in this together. We can stay awake here.
But what if we're all sleeping and we have the mics on and it's like white noise for people?
Oh.
And then they fall asleep.
And then
I'd be worried we'd get our best ratings ever.
Hey, I don't know what Nuna was doing on Nick's show the other morning, but man, oh man, it was, I think it was 100.
And I'm guessing the sound of the four of us sleeping is nowhere similar to white noise, what it sounds like.
No, probably not. I would imagine there's a cacophony of grunts and hacks and all sorts of things.
I sleep like an angel.
I'm sure you do. Hanging from, you know.
Somebody get V on the line.
Yeah. I'd like to, maybe we can talk somebody into putting a recorder in
it's
there.
It's just soft.
Just
little,
audio. Like a kitten?
Yep.
Like a kitten.
Muse. I mew.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just swallow the entire pillow. Mew, 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 mew.
That's what causes it.
Sure, because you got the pillow in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fantastic. Well, guess what? It's time for the news. Thanks, Vic. Brian Noonan in for Nick. Nick will be back tomorrow morning at 2. I'm here till 5, and then it's the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. So this has been happening a lot, and I've been having a conversation with my wife and a couple of friends of mine. So I take the dogs for a walk, and as a responsible dog owner, I always try to pick up after my dogs. I'm having this discussion because if we go out, the dogs always, you know, they always do their business when we're out. So I pick it up, and I'm not going to carry a bag of poop around for 45 minutes. So I always use a neighbor's garbage can somewhere, wherever on the walk. I'll go into the alley and I'll throw the bag into a garbage can, which I think is fine because we all pay the city comes and picks up, the city I live in, they come and pick up our garbage. We all pay the same amount for our garbage pickup. But my wife and some other people have said that they're like, how could you do that? Why would you think it's okay to use somebody else's garbage can? I'm like, well, technically it's the city's garbage can, and I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not throwing loose particles in there. I'm throwing a bag that's tied in a knot. But it's it's one of those things where I don't understand why someone would have a problem with that. Now I understand if somebody came down the alley with a pickup truck and started throwing all kinds of bags of garbage in your bin and you don't have room to throw out your own garbage, sure, you can get upset. Or if somebody's just throwing stuff into your yard or things like that, or more importantly, if people aren't picking up their dog poop anyway, that's what you get mad at. But I didn't understand what was going on. And my wife couldn't really explain it to me other than to just say, well, that's somebody else's garbage can. I'm like, so? I don't care if somebody comes and looks at my garbage can. I don't care. They're going through what are you going to find? Going to find all my coffee grounds and whatever else I happen to throw away? You know, trust me, there's nothing that exciting in my garbage. I wish there was. I wish it was like in a spy movie where people would go through trying to find files and they'd take bags of my shredding and try to piece it together at some unknown warehouse where they have people, you know, taking my shredded documents and trying to piece them together. What? He was 3 days late on his DirecTV bill. Ugh. There's nothing in there like that. So now, Dan, you live in the city proper. Would you ever do that? If you're taking your dog for a walk, do you find it acceptable or unacceptable to throw... to use somebody else's can for that?
I find it acceptable. I think anytime it's a small item,
yeah,
that they won't notice other, you know, the person,
sure,
you know what I mean? Like, you can throw a bottle of water.
You should recycle
that bottle of water.
Sure, put that in the recycling can.
Put that in recycling can.
Right. People all upset. More so than I already have.
But
now they're not even recycling. What kind of program is this?
For the
love of God.
If it's something that, like, they won't even know if you did it, I'm fine with. I get anxious when, you know, even our neighbors are kind enough to be like, hey, we know, you know, you guys have parties and you have big families, so if you ever need to put an extra, like, you know, bag of garbage in our thing, like, let us know and we're happy to do it. Like, I get anxious about that. I'm like... you know, knowing our luck, that'd be the day that they have
tons of garbage
cleaning. You know,
yeah, like Christmas, like, where everybody's got a ton of garbage outside.
Right, right, right. And my godfather was a garbage man for many years here in the city, so I'm always very wary of making more work for them. But something small like that, toss it in.
It's just, you know, I don't have, I'm not walking an elephant. I'm walking a dog. They're not, you know.
And
it's not that huge.
I think, to your point, you're being very courteous by nodding it up. And
I just toss it in. And these are big. These are the big dumpsters. These are not, you know, the old school metal trash cans. This is the big wheeled dumpster. You just toss it in there. Nobody knows. But I have gotten some strange looks from people, like other residents, when I open there. I don't know what they think I'm going after. I'm not diving in there. You know, it's not, you don't look out in the alley and just see my feet kicking out of the top of your garbage can. Wonder what he's looking in there for. Oh, leftover pizza. No, I don't care about that. But I know it's sad that this was the big topic of conversation, but that's what my life has come to, because today was, it came to the forefront today because today was the post-thaw yard maintenance, you know? Which is the worst part of spring. As much as I look forward to spring, I hate this day because it's... I think like late December was the last time everything was completely thawed and I was able to pick up. So it's been a couple months. And it is, yeah, it's a horrible day. Now, those big bags, I put in my own garbage. I'm not walking around the neighborhood with those. But this is just, you know, the dog taking a little stroll. But my wife got all crazy about it. And then if my wife gets crazy about it, then I start thinking about it. Esmeralda, where do you fall on using other people's garbage cans?
I think it's fine.
All right.
As long as it is within reason.
Sure.
Yeah. I would, because in my apartment building, my old apartment building, they didn't recycle.
Oh, okay.
So I would always throw I would recycle, but I would throw it into the neighboring recycle bins.
Oh, okay.
So I'm all for throwing it's into all stranger stuff.
Yeah, it's all going to the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all, you know.
If anything, I was doing it right and they were doing it wrong.
Exactly.
I think at one point I put a sign, was like, hey.
Yeah. Now, see, you're doing the right thing. Your building should be recycling. It's everybody should be trying to recycle. What they've started doing in our neighborhood, though, we do, and this is probably the wrong way. You know, we use the grocery bags, the little one, and I'll fill them in the house with the recyclables, and then I would take them out to the recycling bin and just drop the whole bag in. Well, then about a couple months ago, they decided they didn't want those plastic bags in the recycling bin anymore. So there was I went out one day and there was a huge sticker on the top of my recycling can about plastic bags not being allowed in the recycling anymore. So now I have to take the bag out, and then I just dump it. I dump that in, and then I just save the bags for our walks.
Do paper bag.
Oh, I don't know if they'll take that. Well, maybe they would.
A paper bag?
Where am I going to find paper? I guess.
What do you mean?
Where am I going to find a paper bag? What am I doing? What do I live in the woods? What
do
am
you?
I, Walden?
I'm sure, shocked you're not a Trader Joe's person.
No.
Do you bring bring reusable bags?
No.
I should.
I have. You know what the problem is? I have a ton of reusable bags, and I always forget them. And then I get to the store, and I'm racked with guilt that I didn't bring my reusable bags. So then I've got to use more of these plastic bags, which I have about 3 cubic tons of at the house. Between the back porch and the garage now, I have to take them back to where, you know, they've got the bins where you can take the garbage bags back to recycle. I got to do that. Somebody from the 815, no, in capital letters. Oh, my goodness. It's not okay to put your dog poop bag in my garbage can. I don't have a dog for that reason. The smell of dog poop, stop it. It's a garbage can. It smells like garbage. Somebody else, it's discourteous to use someone else's property without their permission. Again, technically, it's the city's property, and it's in the alley. Because the city provides us all our dumpsters. I understand if you don't want somebody leaving something in there, but I don't know if... I don't know if that's, you know, if we can go that far. Now, I mentioned when I was talking to Dave and Lisa, back when I used to live in the southwest suburbs, you know, nobody's garbage can was out. So you would have to, it would be an effort to walk behind. I would never walk behind somebody's house to look for a garbage can. I would never, you know, I'd never go up somebody's driveway to use their garbage can. But if it were garbage day and the garbage was out by the curb, I would throw it in the can, you know, rather than walking around. But, you know, I don't understand the...
You know what, too, is, at least in the city, there needs to be more garbage cans on the corners. There's not enough.
There's nothing. And since we can't go in the park with our dogs, I can't use the garbage cans that are near the park. And there's no public garbage cans in our neighborhood.
Right. And people are being jerks. They don't want to let you throw your garbage in their garbage.
Well, listen. you can't throw your stinky garbage in with my stinky garbage. Because that's my stinky garbage. Plus, if you're out in the alley hanging around your garbage cans, maybe you move your party into the backyard. You know, don't party near your garbage cans. Because, I don't know, every once in a while I'll hose out my garbage can. That's not a euphemism. I'll just do it. So, you know, garbage is supposed to stink. It's garbage. That's why we don't keep it in our house. And again, I think my dog's poop probably smells like roses. You know, if Esmeralda could say she sleeps like a kitten, then I could say my dog's poop smells like roses. And it's all sealed up in a bag. I don't mind them using the trash, but they always seem to put their dog waste in the lawn recycling can rather than in the trash. Well, then that's their fault. Then that's on them and they're doing the wrong thing. You know, No, sorry, not nice. Where I live and other suburbs, we have to pay for our garbage service. I live one block away from Chicago, so it's not just out in the boonies. No, I didn't say it was the boonies. I said in the suburbs, you know, in the suburbs, everybody had a different, I think there were three or four disposal services that used to come through my old neighborhood. Now it's the city. The city that I live in pays for the cans and pays for the thing. And again, it's in an alley. Public thoroughfare. Right? An alley is a public property. Is public property. It's not the, I'm not going in anybody's yard. Harold wants to chime in. Hi, Harold.
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
Nothing. What do you think?
Well, here, I mean, there's two options. Leave it there on the ground in front of somebody's house.
Oh, never.
Or you pick it up and kindly throw it away. You're certainly not going to run home, throw it away, and then come back and start walking your dog again. You know, so you throw it away. No big deal. I mean, as long as you don't linger and, you know, like lift up the lid, the air inside there, you know, people.
No, I'm not looking at other people's garbage, Harold. I'm just, you know, I'm tossing it in. And a lot of times the lids are askew anyway, so I don't even really have to lift the lid. I just could toss it right in there.
Exactly. Now, the thing is that I've seen people, you know, pull my bike out and take, you know, go out for a ride, and as I'm pulling my bike out, I see people walk out of my apartment building, which is, you know, got an alley entrance as well as, you know, the front entrance. So they have an option. And they walk out with a garbage bag. And there's a gate on our garbage area where the cans are.
Okay.
The, you know, rectangle ones. So there's a gate on there, and you have to unlock the gate and then open it and throw the garbage away. So I've seen these people walk out so many times. Walk out, walk down the alley, and throw it in a neighbor across the way that, garbage can. I mean, a big, you know, 2.5 foot tall bag of garbage. And I'm like, you just filled somebody's thing. And if this building of 100 people, if 10% of them do that, there's going to be bags of garbage all around their garbage can.
Well, of course. They just don't want to open the gate at your own building? They're just too lazy? Or they don't have a key? Or what's the
deal? Lazy, guaranteed. I mean, I watch them. I'm like, I know where the cans are. I know where our cans are. And they walk out the gate, and instead of making a left and going 10 feet over and opening the gate, they go to the right and walk down the alley and throw it into somebody else's can, and then they continue down the alley and walk out to the street. And I'm like, you lazy bump. And then I've seen people, I am not kidding you, not kidding you. We have a place, you know, where it's designated where you got a couch or whatever, you throw it, you know, you don't
open
the gate too big. So there's a place right next to the gate where you put it, and it's the garbage man will throw it. He'll throw it away. He'll push it into the truck. And I've seen people take out a couch and should they buy a whole new living room set and put a couch in a love seat next to this other guy's garbage. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, we gotta throw it away. And I'm like, this is our building. You put it over there where it belongs, where every day you see somebody puts it to an end table or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, put your couch over there. That way, if we get a ticket, we get a ticket. But you're imposing, you know, an issue with this guy that he may get a ticket from the city for leaving all this huge garbage out in the middle of the alley.
See, and I think there has to be some sort of sliding scale. That obviously is not acceptable. If you're risking that somebody else is going to have to pay for your stupidity, then you're just wrong. If you're putting something in a big 45-gallon rolling dumpster that's the size of a tennis ball or a baseball, you're not really. I don't think you're good. I think that's a different story.
You're really doing everybody in the neighborhood a favor by just putting it where it belongs in the garbage. But you know, but it's. You know, but there's another issue, like I said.
If you're taking advantage, then that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. But Harold, I appreciate the call. Good luck. Tell some of your lazy neighbors to open the gate.
I did.
How'd that go over?
They put the couch there. I said, I literally told them. I says, you know, there's a place where we commonly put stuff. If you got like a, you know, if you've got a couch, I've seen many couches out there, and I says, put it there, not by this guy's.
Yeah.
You know, and I says, everybody, they know where it came from. They'll leave us alone because they know that we got no other choice. And the guy's like, you know, and there's like these four people carrying it. So then, you know, they all look at me, and then the one guy says, well, somebody will take it.
Yeah. You just put it out there. Somebody will take it. Harold, thanks for the call. Have a great morning.
I'm like, thanks, Nostradamus, you know.
Exactly. Take it easy, man. Thanks. I am like public enemy. You'd think I was John Dillinger, the way the tech. How many people would you allow to use your cam before you started to complain? That from Earn. Earn, again, it would take, I can't imagine how many, I'm saying, if it was just the same size of the thing I'm throwing out, which I'm going to amend that, smaller than a tennis ball, you know?
I would say if you can't throw away your garbage,
then it's too, then
that
it's
you're
too
making.
Much. Right.
Then, yeah. But how many people would that? That'd be just people dumping their own,
I don't know,
huge,
yeah,
garbage bags of garbage.
Exactly. Now, granted, there's only two of us in the house. We'd never come close to filling more than a quarter of our garbage can. That's how big this thing is. Now, I know bigger families are generating more garbage. I understand that. If I happen upon a can that is overflowing, I do not put anything, put the little bag in there. And again, think about the size of this. And it's not the same person's garbage can all the time. It depends where I'm at on the walk when the dog does this, you know?
And if you see the garbage can full,
I don't put it in there.
Exactly.
I move on because, you know, I'm not going to just balance it on top and hope it. It's not like when you're in that standoff in the house when nobody wants to take out the garbage and you just keep kind of balancing things on top till the garbage starts to stack up.
Or you smush it down.
Right. You push it down. Then you can't get the plastic bag out of the can because it's jammed in there so tight and the top starts to rip and then you're swearing at each other because now the garbage is all over the floor.
You know, I bet a lot of these people are complaining, I don't want people putting garbage in my garbage.
Yeah.
They would even notice.
No, they wouldn't notice.
I bet you're,
unless they
a
saw
bunch
you.
Of people are throwing garbage in their garbage.
You know, this Gladys Kravitz is just looking out the window. Garbage. I run a paper route way up here in the northwest suburbs, and I see all the time people driving by and dumping garbage out the window or off the back of trucks or on the subdivisions on garbage night. Again, that's two different things. If you're importing your garbage into another neighborhood, you're wrong.
You're being a jerk.
Yeah, you're a complete tool. I think it's a different story. You become a dog owner knowing that you'd have to pick up poop, so just be a responsible dog owner. I am. I'm picking it up. I'm not going to carry it for 45 minutes. I'm picking it up, sealing it in a bag, and putting it in a garbage can that we all have paid the same amount for. We're in this together. Maybe I just stop picking it up. How about that? I would feel so awful if I just didn't pick up after my dog.
Just do it in the dead of night.
Yeah. Take my dog. How about if I just start swinging it around my head like a slingshot and just throwing it, and the bag lands where it lands? How about that? Then you got a little white plastic bag on your lawn. Somebody texted in, what if you're putting a gun in my... How do I know you're not putting a gun in my garbage can? Well, I could get graphic and tell you my dog cannot poop guns. But
by the way,
I won't do that.
If someone's going to throw a gun in your garbage, they're going to throw a gun in your garbage.
Yeah, exactly. If I need to get rid of a gun that bad that I'm going down the alley and dumping it in the can, you think I care one way or another what you think? I'm an outlaw. I'm getting rid of a hot piece because I just capped somebody. There was a weird kid in my alley today. We'll get back to more of this. We got to do this because Dan's having a conniption that I haven't taken a break yet. So let's do this. It's WGN. I have to be honest. I am a little shocked that so many people don't want other people's trash in their garbage can. I have gotten a number of texts saying, hey, if people are complaining, you could just put it in the bag and set the bag on fire on their porch. But that I would never do that. That seems wrong. Len couldn't hold on. He said, people don't know what you're throwing out or doing in the garbage. And in the age of identity theft, you can't be too careful. Well, you can if there's stuff with any. If you're throwing away bank statements in the garbage, you need to rethink and start shredding stuff. But it's not like I'm lingering. And again, imagine, you know, the alley right in the alley as it comes out to the street. So right there, that first garage, it's not like I even am going more than 6 feet into the alley. I'm barely moving off my path.
I will have another to your point here.
Yes, please.
I did not have a dog, but I did have the post-thaw clean up my front yard.
Uh-huh.
So I had to throw out the circular that was from like December and the pink
sure,
wrapping paper that was molded over and
right.
the smushed PBR can and the rolling papers package.
Now, would you have liked those people to have put those in your can in the alley?
I would have been very happy if they all did that. Because I live two off the street, so I'm two into the alley. And so, like, we get stuff from the street all the time.
See, and now, even though the city picks up your garbage, right?
They do, yes.
All right, just like they pick up your neighbor's garbage. So if those people who, instead of throwing PBR cans and circulars and wrap rolling paper packages, really?
Yeah, it was probably.
What's going on your block, man? People are partying, they're getting turnt.
Should you put a sign on that can? Just in the yard and go, is this yours? Please come pick it up and throw it away.
Or post a picture and, you know, and then tape it to all the light posts around town so everybody gets upset.
Were you drinking in my yard? Yeah. Can you please pick up your
can? Were you drinking in Token? Getting stoned out of your gourd? Well, there you go. All right. I'll keep it in mind. Other people are texting in, take it home. I guess I could, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to. I would keep using garbage cans around. Now, all right. What if since the city picks up all the garbage, a couple times I'll be walking far and I'll be in the more downtown area of my town and I'll use the municipal garbage can. What's the difference between me dumping it in a municipal can outside a chiropractor's office or dropping it in the first can in the alley?
Just hope that it doesn't touch the garbage of these people. That don't want your garbage in their garbage.
What if I double bagged it? Would that be enough? Or if I Febrezed it as a, you know, if I find Jack Black with that stink away or poop away spray from that one movie he was in where he created the spray that he sprayed on and it just that would be better. Then I wouldn't have to pick it up. But all right, I'll double bag it or what if I put a mint? I'll par chew a mint. And then you spit it in there in the bag, too, so everything smells minty fresh. Then people go, what's in my garbage? Is that a gun? Oh, no, it smells too pretty to be a gun. It can't possibly be a gun. Should we be napping at work? Maybe. Maybe that would keep us from talking silliness about spitting mints into bags of dog poop. Who knows? We will ask that question. Should you nap at work? We'll do that on the other side of news. But right now, it's 3:30. That means it's news time, Vic Vaughn. Thank you, Vic. Brian Noonan in for Nick D. Nick will be back tomorrow on WGN. All right. Should you nap at work? And intentionally, not just you doze off at your computer or you go out for a smoke break and don't come back. Experts are saying yes, which surprises me because I would think most conventional wisdom would say that if someone's sleeping, they're not being productive. However, studies are showing that if people take short naps, they are actually more productive. A study came out, and one IT company in Edmonton, Alberta, was trying this. So the boss went out and he ordered nap pods for people, which are like a recliner with a cap that will come down and it'll close up over you. It's a dome, and it has soothing music, lights, vibration, and heat. I would never want to get up. If they said, hey, you know what? And Grant, we're not breaking rocks. I can work for 3 hours without a nap. But if you're working, you know, you're working a long day, 8-10 hours a day, busting your hump, maybe a nap would be nice. Google and Procter & Gamble already have nap pods for people. Google, that doesn't surprise me about Google. You know, tech people, they've got all kinds of, they're playing video games, they're taking naps, they're growing wheat. They're doing all kinds of things at work. I don't know what they're up to. These pods cost about $14,000. And experts say this is a good deal because even short naps, according to one sleep specialist, as little as 7 to 10 minutes can be really helpful and restorative. I don't know how can you nap for 7 minutes? I mean, I guess I've nodded off. That's about as much sleep as I got tonight during the Academy Awards or last night. Slept about 7-8 minutes. But I don't know. Studies in China, where people nap all the time, show that people who nap regularly function better and are more alert. A short snooze can boost your energy and your problem-solving skills. Are you a napper, Dan?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
You know, I will try to if I can, but if I can't get more than like an hour plus, I just wonder if it's worth it, you know?
See, and they're saying that's too long. An hour's too long, according to nap experts. So here are your tips for napping at work, Esmeralda, in case you want to doze off at any point during the festivities.
Perfect.
Find a quiet spot. I don't know if there's one in here, but try to find one. Aim for 20 minutes so you won't interfere with your nighttime sleep. That's when it gets it. Best time to sleep is after lunch, but not after 4 p.m., they say. You don't want to disrupt your nighttime sleep. And it's different for shift workers. So you guys working your odd hours, it probably wouldn't work out the best for you. And napping isn't for everyone, they say. Saturday, we went to... my wife had given this to me for Christmas. It was a tour, the Barrel Run tour. So it's a tour of breweries, but it's on a bus that this guy, he took a school bus and he took the bus part off and just left the frame. And then he built a barrel. So it's like a giant barrel rolling down the street. Maybe you've seen it. And it's made of wood. It's cedar. It's beautiful. And the doors are concealed. So it just opens up like, you know, like the jaws of a dinosaur. So we go on this beer barrel tour, and we go around, we go to three breweries, and we have some beers, and then we had lunch, we go home, and I thought, well, I'll just take a nap for a couple minutes before I take the dogs for a walk and, you know, defile my neighbor's garbage cans. So long story short, 4 hours later, I wake up. Now it's 9 o'clock at night, and I've been asleep already. So it threw me all off. So that was way too long a nap, as evidenced by this. Chances are, they're saying if you get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, you don't get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night, do you? I don't know anybody who does.
Do
no. Esmeralda, do you get 7 to 9 hours of sleep?
For the most part.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't have babies or anything.
Holy cow.
So I can just sleep.
You could say, I guess. Vic, do you get 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night?
I'm happy with six.
Six?
That's usually the max.
Yeah, six and a half. That's about my... I mean, I wish I could sleep 9 hours a night. That'd be nice. Good for you, Esmeralda.
You're
in the minority. You're in the minority because most people don't get to sleep. The entire society is sleep-deprived, according to these sleep experts. If you compare the data from the last two decades, we're all sleeping much less than we used to, except for Esmeralda. And it says that... weirdly, it says that right in the article. Except for Esmeralda.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You must be so iconic in the sleep community that people are like, wow, that Esmeralda Leon, she sleeps.
I'm my own group. Just me.
Right. If you were a Venn diagram, you'd be a very tiny sliver. There's Esmeralda. She doesn't really overlap with anybody because she's sleeping like 14 hours a day. Oh, my good. Good for you. So there you go. Take a nap at work if your boss will let you. I really don't know how many bosses would let you. I used to, when I worked in at this finance company, I would often nap during my lunch. But that was during my lunch, so it didn't matter. You know, I'd go out to the car, eat my sandwich, cry, sleep, get back up, go in for the afternoon slog, and then pray for a slow death.
But you know what I've seen is tech companies have, because they want people to stay...
Yeah.
As long as possible.
Right. They want you working nonstop.
Yeah, so they have like wellness rooms and they have all these kind of stuff where you can go take a nap.
Well, and they're always on the cutting edge of, you know, trying, they want to try new things, innovate to see how they can retain their employees. Plus, employees are looking for those kind of perks now. You know, think about our parents. They would have never, when they were looking for a job, they would have never thought to ask, hey, do you have a sleep room? Where, like, in the middle of the day, I can go doze a little bit. What? Yeah, you know, and I'd like to play some video games, maybe, and free snacks. I get free snacks, right? No, you don't get free snacks.
That's true, but they would want to be 9 to 5.
Sure.
And in those places, it's like, no, you keep working.
Right, you work till we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to go play ping pong for 20 minutes, that's fine. But then get back to work. Get back to your stand-up treadmill desk and keep working. They say now, I just saw a study that said those stand-up desks are not good for you.
I saw that too.
Yeah, that all of us, oh man, that was the thing, right? Everyone, you got to stand up. Because if you sit down, you're going to die. Too many people sit down, and then they just explode. That was the thinking. And then it was like, oh, everybody's going to stand up. And then, hey, not only are you going to stand up, now you're going to walk on a treadmill while you're working for 8 hours.
What should we be doing?
Staying home.
Just float.
We should float or sleep for 9 to 10 hours like Esmeralda. And then you'll be fine, according to this article, which again quotes you. I don't understand it.
I go, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're not supposed to stand and you're not supposed to sit, I think they don't want – nobody wants you doing one thing the entire day. So, like, if you're sitting most of the day, they want you to get up every hour and walk around, which, again, is great until you try to explain to your boss why you have to take a constitutional every 15 minutes. Well, you know, for my health, it's blood clots, and I got to just stroll around, boss. Really? Sit down. And then it's like you're in kindergarten and your boss is the teacher. Just sit down. Sit down and do your work. No, what? But I have to go to the bathroom. I got to do it. Sit down.
And wouldn't it get into your coworkers, too? Like, let's just say there are people who just don't want to nap. That's just not their thing. And so right. It just kind of like, well, why should you be able to nap?
Well, that's the big conversation now, too, about whether people who don't take smoke breaks should get more vacation time. Because if I'm taking 15 minutes four, five, six times a day to go smoke, and, you know, if you're doing that and I'm working the whole time and we have the same all that time, I should get somehow. So, yeah, if I'm going to nap and you're not, sure, you'd resent me a little bit. But I wouldn't care because I'd be refreshed and ready to go, and you'd be tired and cranky, and I would outlap you anyway and end up climbing the corporate ladder quicker because I was rested, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, hungry. That's how you get success, Dan. You don't work yourself to, you know, don't work yourself into a coma. Take a nice little nap. Naparoo, right at work.
I do hate the places where you have to stay from a certain hour to a certain hour. If you don't really have to.
What do you mean, like most jobs?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, there's jobs where it's like you have these things to do.
Okay.
And then once you're done with them, that's all you have. But you still have to stay. So then you have to, like, well, I guess I'll figure something else out to do.
I'm kidding.
You know what I mean? Like, in offices and stuff, if you just have a project, and you're like, well, I finished my project. Now what do I do? And if there's nothing else, you still have to stay.
Well, I don't know if I've ever
had. Because you must stay from 9 to 5.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had a job like that where if, you know, you get through your to-do list for the day, you just, there's nothing.
And they let you leave?
No, I'm saying I've never, there's always something to do.
I guess. I think there's certain places. I mean, I've worked in places where it's like, yeah, you do your work.
Okay.
And once you're done, you can go.
Oh, wow.
If you do it quick enough, you do it fast enough. You ever worked on a morning show? You know, you had to be there for the morning show, but after that.
Right.
Whatever you needed to get it done, and then you can go.
Oh, sure, but you, right, but that's a different kind of thing. I mean, you had to be there for the hours of the show.
Right, but then afterwards you have work, and
right.
Say you don't have that much. You don't have to be like, well, I have to be here till 5, or I have to be here
right.
for certain hours.
But that's not like working in a factory or in an office.
No, I mean, that's a different thing. But when you have, when it's a very, like those tech companies, again, they have projects.
Sure.
And then it's like, you know, however you get it done, you can go, you can leave, you can do all that.
Or you can work from home, maybe do that flex time deal.
Right.
I don't know. Well.
I like those rather than the places where.
You don't want to be chained to your desk and told you have to stay at one place.
Yeah.
And you have to stay till this time. You want
right.
the flexibility to do your work. But what if something were to, what if you left and then something were to pop up?
Well,
that's why they need you around.
Ugh.
That's why you work from home in your jammies.
Well, there, yeah, see?
Yes, I like that idea. No, I don't. I'm going to take that back. I couldn't do it. I don't have the discipline to work at home. If I had to work at home, nothing would get done and I would be fired immediately. Because they go, what'd you do today? Well, I got up. I had some coffee. Then the dogs needed to go out. You know, I didn't want their poop in my yard, so I took it to somebody else's can.
I had to walk 45 minutes
to drop, go to another town, drop off their poop, come back. It's very time consuming.
But then I guess that can't be good either because then you're just attached to an email or
right.
phone.
The man has you, Esmeralda.
Man,
that's the deal. There's no way to escape the man. He's got his boot on your neck. No matter where you go, he's stepping on it. You think you can get away, the man gives you a little bit of rope, and you go out just far enough, and then he yanks you back in.
Gives you a nap.
That's right.
Like, you have to stay longer.
Exactly. Like, oh, you want a nap? Sure. Now you're working 14 hours a day. Had you not napped, you would have put in 8, you would have gone home. But good for you. You want to work from home? Sure. You're never going to have any privacy. I'm calling you at 3 in the morning. I'm calling you at 5 in the afternoon. I'm going to call you at 8:30 while you're eating your yogurt. I don't care, because I got you. I got you. I'm the man. I own you. Welcome to your life.
Well, this got bleak.
It sure did. If you're just waking up, go to work. God bless you. Have a good day. The man's got you. He's got your number. And I've got your numbers. Your temperature numbers, that is. What a segue. Here's the forecast for the WGN Chicago Weather Center. You like that, did you, Dan? Most ham-handed segue in the world.
That was impressive.
Oh, thank you. All right, since we're talking about the man keeping you down and keeping tabs on you, this is a disturbing piece out of the Tribune yesterday. Workplace monitoring is getting personal, and employees fear it's too close for comfort. And yes, that is true. There are a lot of companies now that instead of just having you punch in, punch out, or as Esmeralda is upset about, you have to stay an entire day to do your work. Ugh, horrifying. Companies are increasingly tapping into new technology designed to keep a close eye on you, their employee. It goes beyond traditional security cameras to include portable devices worn by workers. So they're giving you things like Fitbits or little tracking things. There was talk not too long ago about companies putting microchips under their workers' skin. So that you could, theoretically, it's so you could just walk in. You don't have to have a card to get in the door anymore. You just wave your arm. Sure. Okay, big brother. That'll be fantastic. You can chip me like a goose, like a migratory beast, and find out where I am all the time. See what's going on at home. Yeah, that's terrific. Amazon, it was reported in the Tribune, won patents for high-tech wristbands that could be used by its e-commerce warehouse and distribution staffs. It is designed to track worker hand movements as orders are filled. The products could eventually be integrated through Amazon's ranks, including its estimated 8,000 Illinois workforce. Would you? Right now, it's still theoretical or very, very minimal. Is there any chance you would work for a company that A, wanted to put a microchip in your skin, or B, wanted you to wear basically a tracking device so they could see how you're doing at work? I mean, I'm the kind of, I try to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, but I don't, even if I have nothing, the old argument, well, if you're doing the right thing, why would you mind? Why would I mind? Why would I mind wearing some sort of device? And one of the big worries from privacy experts is, say you're doing a fitness challenge at your office, so they give everybody a Fitbit. Well, it's got all sorts of information about you on it, and they're saying, well, what's to stop that personal information from getting hacked or your company from using it in other ways? To go, well, listen, Dan, we noticed that your heart rate drops constantly, so we're afraid you're not quite healthy enough to work here anymore, so you need to skedaddle.
Or your insurance. Napping.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna crank up your insurance costs because we see that you're napping and you have a resting heartbeat of 3,012. So you're like a jackrabbit, and bad things are going to happen. According to a privacy rights attorney in Chicago, in the workplace there isn't a right to privacy. So your employer can do whatever they want. If you're on the computer, if you're doing anything in the office, they have a right to monitor you. But then, if I'm in the office, I get that. So email, social media posts, all that stuff they can do. But now employers want to take a more intimate approach. One growing method is using a time clock that scans an employee's fingerprint, retina, or iris. Wow. No, thank you. Imagine coming in here. In order for us to start, they had to scan our iris. This is like something out of 24. 30 class action lawsuits were filed by late 2017 accusing companies of violating the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act. I did not know this. Illinois among a handful of states with a law that polices biometric monitoring in the workplace. So the lawsuits are saying that the employers don't give workers enough notice before they change their policies and say that they're going to start doing all this. I don't know why you would I don't know why you would subject yourself to this. And I know people are going to say, well, we need the job. I get it. But at what point do we give up so much to have a job that suddenly we really are? And I joke about the man keeping his boot on your neck. That's my go-to joke. But pretty soon the man does own you. If they can monitor you at home, if they can monitor you, and I, you know, we all know this idea for a microchip under your skin, it's not going to stay just, well, you can charge something at the company commissary, or you can get in and out of the gate without having to have a card. Well, listen, key cards have not been that much of a problem. I've never had so much of a hassle with my key card here that I went, man, I wish GM would just put a chip in my neck, because this is a hassle, pulling out my key card. What am I, some sort of key card slave? No, thank you. It doesn't make sense. You know, at some point, they're going to track everything. They're justifying it for the Amazon workers with these wrist deals, saying, well, you know, if we can see how the people in our warehouses are loading boxes, it could cut down on some injuries, some sort of, you know, stress-related or repeat, you know, when you're repetitive motion injuries. We could stop that. No, thank you. Maybe it's maybe I sound paranoid, but it's because I am.
The thing that kind of I go back and forth on is they're doing this a lot in sports now. You know, they'll put a little chip in a guy's shoulder, and you know you'll be that's how they're able to tell you like, oh, Javi Baez ran 78.4 feet to catch that ball when you know he was in short center and you know had to run out to catch it. You know?
Right.
And so there's an interesting thing, and they do that with a lot of NFL players now, where you know like, well, that guy actually it was a 100-yard gain, but he actually ran 140 yards, including
right because he went sideways.
Like they're doing it obviously because they want the best possible athletes, and that's their game. You know, that's literally their business to make sure that you're the best possible athlete you can be. You know, this doesn't seem like it's really going to help you, you know?
No, it's not. It's not going to help you at all. It's going to help the bottom line of the company. And I understand companies are in business to make money. I am all for capitalism. However, I'm also for privacy, and I'm also for workers' rights. And, you know, when you're telling me, you know, if this sensitive personal information that you've collected in the name of making sure that the warehouse runs a little bit smoother gets hacked, and suddenly, you know, what's to stop you as a company from deciding one day that you want to use it for a different purpose? Or that, you know, you're going to, if you want to take data, you can make it look however you want. If they want to get rid of you and you really haven't given them any reason to, but maybe we can find something in all this information that we've tracked from you. So technology is, technology's here. It's not going anywhere, and it's getting more and more advanced, and companies are going to try to figure out a way to streamline things and make more money for themselves. And if that means just, if that means monitoring you a little more, no thanks. But they'll also be able to tell if you take a little too long in the bathroom. Maybe one day you have an upset stomach. That happens. Maybe you stop to talk to Esmeralda. Maybe I'm running to the bathroom and I stop in Traffic Central. Just say, hey, what's happening, Esmeralda? Got any imperfect vegetables today? And she says, nope. Well, hey, why'd you stop? We saw you took 10 seconds. You talked to Esmeralda. You know what you could have done with that 10 seconds? You could have gone to news on time. That's what you could have done. But no, you were yapping. You were yapping like a jerkweed. Well, I'll stop that. We'll talk to Fred Weintraub after. We'll find out what's going on in the U.K. Brian Noonan in for Nick D, 720 WGN, here until 5. Then it is the opening bell. Steve Grzanich comes in. We're worried about some snow coming again this week, but they've been getting snow in places that are not really used to snow. Fred Weintraub, you know Fred. He's been on with me many times. He's been on with Nick many times. He is Chicago's Royal Connection. He is a broadcast executive here in Chicago and in Houston and in London. He splits his time between all three. And now he has just come back from the UK, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Brian?
I am dandy. Good to talk to you. You're back in the United States?
Just flew back into the United States, was in London, just as the blizzard hit.
Yeah, so this it's crazy over there. I'm seeing pictures from my cousins in Ireland that, you know, things are closed. Does London, do they not usually get snow? Is that why this is such a big deal, or was it the amount of snow that they got?
I think the answer is both. They usually don't get snow, especially in the city proper, and they don't get the amounts that they got. So as last week kind of revealed itself, you were hearing from the BBC that, you know, they would have alerts like we would have tornado alerts in Chicago. So they would go from amber alerts of yellow to alerts of red. And when it got to red, that's the most serious because that's when life could be lost. And so I would tell you that the issue isn't that they got so much snow in the central part of London. The issue was that the infrastructure is not set up for snow. So where in America, you would go out with your snowblowers and your shovel. The only problem in London is they don't have that. And can you imagine, 4 inches of snow in London doesn't seem like a lot, which in theory is not a lot.
Right.
But when you don't have any way to get rid of it, when you don't have salt, when you don't have the equipment to get rid of it, you literally see people on the high street who own stores, they're taking their brooms and they're taking cardboard and they're trying to shovel it into the street. So we would walk down main streets in London, just as if you were to walk down Michigan Avenue. And let's just say, for an example, the snow/blizzard hits at 10 o'clock in the morning. You would bet down Michigan Avenue that within 20 minutes that they would have people that would be taking the shovels and they would be shoveling the snow as best they can to try to keep the walkway safe for people.
Right.
You can't do that in London because you have no snow shovels, so people are walking through this. The other issue is London/the UK, this little island, runs very effectively by rail. And so when all the trains or many of the trains are stopped, it has a severe economic impact on the city and on the countryside, because people who live in the outskirts of London, they can't get to London to do their jobs, where it became much more life-threatening in areas in the countryside where they would have 14 to 16 inches of snow. Uh-huh. You literally are blocked in, because the UK, with the few pieces of equipment that they have, they're not going to get to those
boats. Right, they're focusing on the city. What's the...
It was probably good news for people who own pubs. It was great news for our kids who were not in school because they never see snow.
Right.
But it was a tough situation.
And is it done? Are they forecasting more? What's the situation now?
Right now it's done. The weather of this morning is 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So now you're going to see the melting. Now you're going to see maybe some flood issues.
Yeah.
But I think that for the most part, they're done. And if you put it in perspective, so they talked about the beast from the east, all this weather coming in from Siberia. So it got down at night to, 5 to 10 degrees. During the day, it was 20 degrees. But the UK is not equipped for that kind of temperature. So it's not like Chicago, where O'Hare would have this cleared. And if this happened in the middle of the night in Chicago, that the Kennedy Expressway, even though it might be a tough morning rush,
It'll be clean.
Somewhat cleared by 7 a.m.
We see that. We see that in different regions of this country as well. You know, there was just there was ice a few weeks ago down south in New Orleans and some other places. They don't have salt. They don't have trucks, and it shuts the whole city down. But for an entire country to be shut down, especially like you said with the rail system, that's not good. But thankfully, that is over, and we can turn our attention to the big stories in the UK, which of course you know this, Fred, as the royal correspondent for the Jam, which people can watch mornings on WCIU TV. Not only one wedding. We know about Meghan and Harry. They're getting married on May 19th. That's going to be the big one. I know you are clamoring for one of these public invitations. But there's another wedding. Princess Eugenie, who is Prince Andrew's youngest daughter, she's getting married in the fall, too. Now, we don't hear too much about Eugenie and her sister. That's one of Sarah, the former Duchess of York's daughters, correct?
Correct. So correct. It's Prince Andrew,
he's the still the royal.
Mom is the queen.
Right.
And Andrew and Fergie were married.
Correct.
And one of their daughters, Eugenie, is getting married.
No.
So that will not be as big a wedding, obviously, as
Prince
Harry and Meghan. But what's interesting is it'll be at the same place. They're getting married in Windsor, and I know you're coming to the UK.
Yes.
And Windsor is definitely one of the places that you want to go to because it's 25 miles, I believe, southwest of London. It's really the weekend home castle of the Queen.
Oh.
So there's a lot of family pride. There's a lot more informality at Windsor. That all being said, you won't see the same type of wedding that you saw with Catherine and Wills, because obviously he's heir to the throne. But you're going to see a big wedding. You're going to see a wedding that will take place at St. George's Church, which is at St. George's Chapel, which is on the grounds of Windsor Castle.
Right.
The only difference is where Westminster Abbey could hold 1,900 people, the church in Windsor can only hold 800. But I think they're being really smart as they're leaking out information about what's going to happen that Saturday in May. They're saying that they're going to invite, besides Brian Noonan and his wife, who are going to get tickets.
That would be phenomenal.
The second or the third row.
Well, listen, if you're not there, and no American is going to be there, you're the guy.
I assume we were just sitting together.
I would hope so.
For the wedding. I would hope so. I would hope so. Because so you're going to have 800 people inside the church, then you're going to have 2,600 people that are going to be invited from the public. And because Meghan and Harry are smart in what they want to do from a social standpoint and in helping their charities, some of these people are going to be coming, like 500 are going to be coming from the town of Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
There are two big schools in Windsor, like elementary schools. They're inviting like 100 kids from each of those schools. So even though you will not get an opportunity to go into the chapel, you will get an opportunity to walk into Windsor and into the grounds. And so you'll see them when they come into the chapel, and you'll see them when they leave. Then they're going to take a carriage ride around Windsor. And I would kind of describe Windsor as a cross between Lincolnshire and Longgrove. Kind of a really nice town.
Yeah, I was reading this, I always thought Windsor Castle was just one building, but it's a little village kind of deal, right? The castle is in this village.
It's a beautiful town that has a main high street, but it's got parks and it really is beautiful. And it's not surprising when on Sundays that people see the Queen going to church. Well, she's not walking to church on Sunday morning. They see her driving there. So it's kind of a mix of royal and suburbia all at once.
Cool.
So it'll be a big deal. So you'll have this service, which will take place at noon or 6 a.m. It'll take place at noon in London and noon in the U.K. and 6 a.m. here in Chicago. And then they'll have all these festivities. You can expect that it'll be formal. Not as formal as William's, but that Prince Harry will probably wear military attire. Then they'll go through all these afternoon festivities for the public. Then they'll go back inside to Windsor Castle, which I understand there'll be a reception in the afternoon/evening. Then at night, there'll be a private reception at Windsor, which Prince Charles, who's the father of Harry, he's going to throw that wedding. And you know that Harry is pretty, you know, he's the party prince.
He likes to party.
He really has. He's settled down. He clearly is responsible. He's doing what he needs to do to become an active member of the royal family from a charity standpoint. You can expect that party to be a pretty blowout party.
That's the one we're not getting invited to, Fred. I don't think. I don't think we'll get that. I'm going to try to tell you. I'll talk to Chuck, see what we can do. We go way back. but Camilla and I have a history, so that might not work. Fred Weintraub is my guest. He is the royal correspondent for The Jam, which is seen mornings on WCIU-TV. worldleaffellow.com is his website. You can check things out. Fred, can you hang on? I got to ask you, I want to ask you a little bit about some gossip, because we brought up Eugenie before. And then we'll get into Meghan and Harry, and Meghan trying to, them trying to mold her into a royal, where she's used to being an independent American. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute with Fred. We are getting an update on the UK, the royal weddings, and so much more with our guest Fred Weintraub. He is the royal correspondent for The Jam, mornings on WCIU-TV. You can also check out Fred's website, worldleaffellow.com. It is always fun talking to Fred. All right, I wanted to ask you this piece of gossip. Now, Eugenie is Fergie and Andrew's daughter. She's the youngest. What's her sister's name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice. All right. Now, rumor was that they, one, they were not nice to Kate when she came in, and they have not been nice to Meghan. Is that still true? Is there a lot of, I don't know why they were being so catty, but that was all the reports, that they were being very nasty.
When you say they've been very nasty, who are you referring to?
The girls, Eugenie and Beatrice, were being nasty to a Meghan, and then there were reports they had been nasty to Kate, and now they were being nasty to Meghan.
I'd hit the buzzer and say all rumors. That's all rumors. Because I could tell you, Eugenie is very close to Prince Harry, and in some ways has kind of helped him introduce him to different girlfriends. So I think that was part of it,
that they didn't like that her friend... that Harry was not dating her friend anymore. That was the rumors. You know, I love gossip.
I think, first of all, the truthful answer is no one's going to ever know for sure, because it's all rumor. I think Eugenie is pretty close to Prince Harry. I think if there's any good rumors or anything to watch out from a family fight standpoint, what it'll be is there's definitely friction between Fergie, who's Andrew's wife, and Prince Philip, who is who's married to the Queen. Because basically, when Andrew got divorced, Fergie did some things that weren't particularly royal or particularly smart, and were not good PR things for the royal family. So he kind of barred her for being involved with any of those activities. And so for years, she hasn't been involved in anything royal. But when your daughter's getting married, it's kind of hard for the Queen's husband to say you're not going to be involved in the wedding. So there might be some juicy gossip. And I can't imagine anything public will come of it. But behind the scenes, there won't be any love lost there.
Now, Meghan is very outspoken. She's an actress, as we all know. She also has done a lot of humanitarian work. She's been outspoken about the Me Too movement. Harry's very supportive of her, said, you know, he loves her. He thinks she's great. Is there going to be any effort by the Queen or the rest of the family to try to mold her into something else, to take the personality that she has and try to jam that in a box that more fits what a quote-unquote royal should be?
I think the phrase jamming it into the box is probably not how the royals would operate in 2018. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a Meghan Markle who's already said that she's giving up her acting career and going to do more of the charity work that has really also been part of her life. Right. What you saw this week was the first official function by four of the young royals. So you saw Meghan and Harry and Princess Catherine and William at an event together to participate in their Royal Foundation Forum. So this is the first time that really the four younger royals who will play a significant role in how the monarchy is shaped over the next 40 years, how they act in public. And what's interesting to see, and you'll see it more and more, is Meghan is very respectful but outspoken in the issues that she cares about. Kate is outspoken but much more reserved. Harry says what he wants to say because he's got the power behind him to do it. And William's going to be the king, so he clearly takes the lead. I think behind the scenes that you will see that Meghan will say what she wants to say, but She will be toned down in how she says some of those things. But that's all a process that apparently you learn. You don't, you know, just doesn't happen overnight. Unfortunately, right. And you and I have talked about this before, that's what caused the demise of Harry and William's mother, is that they threw her in the lion's den, and it created a media havoc and in many ways ruined her life. They will not let that happen to Meghan. She's met the Queen on three or four quick occasions. She's going to participate in a Commonwealth service on March 12th at the invitation of the Queen. She got invited to a Christmas lunch, which never happens until you're a member of the royal family. Uh-oh. So clearly, Queen Elizabeth has changed, is trying to make her feel more comfortable. And so I think we're seeing a different royalty developing. I think you're seeing a different royalty developing if it's going to survive into this century. I mean, the other story that we haven't talked about is we're a month away from Kate having another baby. And the only difference is it's rumored that Kate's going to have this baby at home because she does not want to create havoc at the hospital that gets created when you're a royal and you have a baby at the hospital. I would speculate, not knowing for sure, that the medical facilities will be spectacular at Kensington.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And you probably have nothing to worry about. But it just kind of shows that they're being sensitive that they don't want to shut down a hospital because they're having a baby. And as, you know, people who have more than one child know, everybody worries about the first baby, and you don't drop the pacifier, and if you do, you throw it out. And by the time you have the third baby, you drop the pacifier, you pick it up, you brush it off on your shirt, yeah. And you stick it in the kid's mouth.
Yeah, a little spit, and you clean it right off, and there you go. Everything's fine. Hey, explain to us, because you mentioned that the four young royals were together, and they were together to give a presentation and talk about the Royal Foundation, which is the charity organization that they spearhead. What does the Royal Foundation focus on?
So the Royal Foundation focuses on any number of charities that William, Kate, and Harry are participating in, which obviously creates and generates money for these charities. Some of them are conservation charities. Many are mental health charities. So they're a combination. They're like a wing of all these charities that come together and discuss what's going to happen in the future. So it's not like one specific charity, although they do have, you know, their own special charities, like Harry has the Invictus Games, and Kate just did, Kate does her own charity, so they all have their own special ones, but there's kind of like a wing together that forms a organization that hopefully together will be more powerful than the individual organizations.
Very nice. Well, listen, as May gets closer, we are going to definitely have to keep in touch, especially when you and I get our invitations. Now, we probably won't get in, but we need to get close so we can see them getting out and getting into their little carriage. So it's kind of like a Cinderella movie. So we'll have to work on the logistics of getting all this set up, Fred.
I'll work on it from my end.
Thank you, and I'll work on it from this end. And you can work on everything by checking out Fred's website, worldlyfellow.com, watching him on The Jam, mornings on WCIU-TV. It's always fun to talk to you, Fred. We will talk to you again very soon.
We will talk soon. Nice talking to you, Brian.
Thank you very much, my friend. We'll talk to you. All right, that's Fred Weintraub. You can check him out, worldlyfellow.com. All right, we got to do the news. And then, hey, do you want to go to England? Do you want to hang out with me in England? I'll tell you how after the news. Brian Noonan in for Nick D. Nick will be back tomorrow morning. Have no fear. Coming up at 5 o'clock, it's the opening bell. All right, I mentioned England. This is now, Dan, I know you saw. I posted a little something, and you were like, hey, it was very vague, your post on Facebook, because I didn't have all the information, so I couldn't really say, what are you laughing at, Esmeralda? Very vague. We're not laughing at this. All right, here's the deal. I'm very excited to be telling you that I am going to England and you can come along. If Steve Bertrand Travel, you know, Steve puts together these wonderful tours. And he has a tour going to England, and that tour sold out. And he said to me, hey, you want to go to England? And I said, yeah. So we are doing a tour identical or very, very similar to the tour Steve already has going. It's 10 nights in England, Dan. 10 days. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I'm going to England for 10 days. What am I going to do there? I don't know. Probably drink tea, eat a crumpet, get crazy. Maybe get arrested. I'm going to get one of those big hats, like a beef eater outside Buckingham Palace. Maybe I'll get a new gig over there. I can stand still. I can't not talk, though.
You look great in red.
I do look good in red. You're right. It is my color. It is, as I said, a 10-day tour, England's treasures. We are going to leave Chicago on October 11th. We'll be gone until the 20th. It's two nights. We start out in London, two nights in London. Then we go to Oxford for a night, Salisbury, Stratford-on-Avon, and then back to London for a couple nights. There's all sorts of wonderful things included. You get hotel stays. You get there's breakfast. There's all sorts of stuff. And it's 10 days. We get to go together. So there's already people have already signed up. Space is limited. So you need to either call 847-606-6065. That's 847-606-6065. Or email steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. And I'll post all of this, of course, on the Brian Noonan Show Facebook page. And then we will go to England together. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You get to hang out. We get to see all these wonderful things. You get to monitor my psychosis as I try to go through airport security and customs. And try to realize that I, too, speak English, and it probably won't match up with the English they're going to be speaking. So I'm really looking forward to it. I do enjoy – here's the thing about traveling. I love to be in the destination, so I like to be at the place I traveled to. I detest getting to said place and returning from said place. But once I'm in that place, I enjoy myself to the fullest. So, and it's an easy flight to London once it – 6 hours, 7 hours, I don't know, something like that.
I will double check. Is this your first time?
My first time in England, yes. Yes, I'll be honest, I haven't really, except for Madrid, I have not traveled overseas. So I am looking forward to this. We'll get to go with WGN listeners, we'll hobnob, we'll hang out. It will be a lot of fun.
Total flight duration from Chicago to London is 8 hours, 25 minutes.
That's not too bad.
No.
Yeah, you leave. I don't know what time we leave. Sleep on the plane. Be there all full of vim and vigor.
I think the best way is when you leave late.
Yes,
you
I agree.
Leave at night, because then you sleep on the plane. Well, and you, it's morning when you,
you, just
when
went
you get there.
You just went over there, didn't you? You were in Ireland
I went to Dublin.
And so did you do that? Did you leave late?
Yeah. I think our flight was 5 or 8 p.m., something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. See, and that's when we went to Madrid, it was the same way. We left later at night. And so slept most of the way over. And then, hey, look at that. It's the next day. It's morning. But you're right. Because then it did seem to lessen the jet lag.
Yeah, it helps a little bit.
You know, you're still goofed up a little. But coming back, I think we left in the morning, and that threw everything off. But
when I went to London, we left in the morning.
Yeah.
And so that was a very strange day. Like, it was part of a class, and they actually made, you know, like, they came to everybody's hotel room and made sure, like, you got up because it was, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and whatever the time difference was.
Okay.
Like, everybody would be asleep. So they physically, like, roused everybody and made them go, like, on a tour for at least a couple hours.
Oh, and then
to try to get them to like 8 p.m. London time, so, and then you could crash out and, you know, maybe sleep till 3 or 4, but at least you'd be a little bit closer to their schedule.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I know that we tried doing that too. You know, we got there and it was pretty early in the morning, and so as tired as we were, we made sure we stayed up, and I think we made it to like 8 or 9 o'clock that night before we were like, all right, now we can finally sleep. It's fun. How did you enjoy London?
I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. It was one of those things. It was a 3-week class that Bradley offered over winter break. And so I took a theater class. So it was really nice because we went, you know, like it was literally I'm sorry, I didn't take a theater class. I took an English class. But
one time was at a theater.
Well, you know, so they couple it with the theater class. So we got to see a ton of shows as part of it. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, I loved it. So just be careful when you come back, because I totally did turn the wrong way the first time I tried to cross the street. because you're so used to, you know, we're used to the way our cars go on the other side. And then obviously it's the other side of the road there.
So after three weeks,
I turned right instead of left when I was crossing the street for the first time. It was like, oh, wow, there's a car coming.
Wow, that's a very helpful tip.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in my helpful tip book.
Although luckily, they do have on the street, it tells you, look this way.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
All right, good, because I'm going to need that. That's like London for dummies.
Yeah, I think they had it in Dublin, too.
All right.
They're like, look that way. They'd be like, what?
Huh? How come? Because you're about to get run over, Yankee. Yeah. Whap. No, thank you.
The tube is awesome, their subway system.
I can't wait to, yeah, that's part of the tour is you get a 24-hour pass on the tube on the next, I think the second time you're there, because you end up in London for a couple days. You get to see all kinds of things. We'll go to the Gloucester Brewery, the Shakespeare's Birthplace, self-guided tour of the Bombay Sapphire Distillery.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
You need to have yourself some clotted cream.
Clotted cream?
On a scone.
Now, I've heard of that. Is that...
So, it's like a cross between whipped cream and dairy cream, like whipping cream.
Okay.
It's like this thick but savory. Oh, my God, so good. It's just so delicious. The first time I had it, I was like, what is this magical concoction?
Really? Is it... So, it's sweet?
It's not very sweet.
Okay, just a hint?
It's more like whipped cream... That hasn't really been not so sugary.
Yeah. Oh, that's
good. It's just this nice, and then it's thick.
Okay.
So you put it on a scone, and oh my gosh, it's heaven.
Wow, this sounds
heaven.
I am excited. I was excited before. Now I'm thinking of it. That's not a good name. Not an appetizing
clotted
name.
Clotted cream.
It doesn't sound. Yeah, but I'll tell you. So if someone offers it to me, I'm going to say yes to everything. If I'm over there and somebody with crazy teeth offers me a fish or something, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, because it's the way, I forget how it's made that it, when you get it over here, it's not the same.
According to Wikipedia, indirectly heating full cream cow's milk using steam or water bath and then leaving it in shallow pans to cool slowly. During this time, the cream content rises to the surface and forms clots. Hence the name clotted cream.
Wow.
It's seriously delicious.
And then do they give you tea with that?
Well, you know, yeah.
You can order. You got to have tea.
I did a whole afternoon tea thing.
I think so there's...
Little sandwiches and the clotted cream and the scones.
Well.
It's lovely.
Well, there's an afternoon tea cruise on the Thames.
Oh, you'll probably get some clotted cream.
Of course I will. I'm going to be very continental. So if you want to go to England with me and Steve Bertrand Travel, we are going October 11th through the 20th. Again, you can email steve@stevebertrandtravel.com or you can call 847-606-6065. And I promise I will be on my best behavior. I will not be an ugly American. I only do that at home. It's like when I'm with company, I'm very well behaved. Left to my own devices, that's when things get dicey. But I also try to be a good ambassador of this country when I go abroad.
Kudos to you.
Thank you, Esmeralda. I will not be wearing a baseball cap.
Oh, good.
I don't. I'm not. You have to have different kind of headwear.
Although you are a dad, you'll be wearing dad shoes.
What are dad shoes?
You know, like sneakers, like working out sneakers, and then you wear them with your jeans.
Oh, I don't know.
There's just a whole look about like a dad.
Yeah, I try to.
And a lot of tourists.
I try to eschew that look. I don't, I try to up my game a little bit.
I just say because at least in Dublin,
yeah,
we were sitting in a cafe just having lunch and just everyone walking by, so dapper.
Really?
So dapper. I was whoa.
Well, then I'm going to have to go shopping then before the trip.
Are you bringing your seersucker?
No, in October? It won't be warm enough for that.
Come on, Dan.
Please.
Man.
I'm going to get
out of season.
I'm going to get a velvet waistcoat and some jumpers.
Oh, man, you should get a velvet blazer.
I probably will. Who knows?
My boyfriend has one.
I have one as well.
Oh, you should bring it.
You think?
You should.
Just wear it nonstop?
You never know.
Till it's
you
all
never
matted?
No.
All right. Listen, you get one suitcase. That's the problem.
That's true. You can wear it. Oh, wear it.
Just layer. Wear it.
Wear it on the plane.
Wear
flight.
It on the plane.
Make it like it's the 1940s and wear it to the plane. Yeah, you know?
Perhaps I will.
You look good. I mean, you got to look good for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, you got to look. I don't want to be, I'm not going to wear cargo shorts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So far, no baseball cap and cargo shorts. I'm in. I'm on my way. I didn't wear those in Spain either.
Oh, so good.
I still probably looked like a tourist, though. Well, because I am a tourist.
Yeah. You know? But at least those were out, so that's good.
Yeah, you can't. There's a certain. Plus, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you shouldn't travel in a baseball cap.
Yeah. Are you going to bring your hats around?
I'll have some sort of hat, and I'll definitely get a new hat over there. I'll get some sort of English headwear.
A derby?
I have a beautiful green derby already.
Oh, maybe you should.
Maybe I may take that too.
You should bring your valet with you to dress you.
I need a steamer trunk with all sorts of stickers on it. And then my wife can't bring anything. She's just in charge of my trunk.
I'll give her a backpack. I got a small backpack.
Yeah, she could. She gets her personal item. That's it. Her purse and her personal item. And then I have her really personal item. We're way too personal item. So again, October 11th to the 20th, call Steve at 847-606-6065 or Steve at SteveBertrandTravel.com. All right. Now, I know Nick's dad usually does a joke after the break. Nick's dad is not here because Nick is not here. But, and I know this is going to sound strange, I really don't know jokes, but I found a joke that I'm going to try to tell. Because when I did stand-up for all those years, I never told jokes. And when I was in Tony and Tina's, I had to learn, I did a routine, but it was all one-liners. And so I have a joke, which I think is pretty funny. But we'll see. We'll try it. I'm not, I'm not guaranteeing anything. You get what you pay for. That's how we're going to run this. You get what you pay for, joke-wise. All right. This is normally the time when Nick's dad comes on and tells a joke. And Dan said, well, you know, Nick's dad's not going to tell the joke. Do you want to tell a joke? And I said, no. But I will try. And it's weird. I know when I say this to you, it sounds so weird that I never told jokes. And you go, well, then how did you, you know, make a living as a comic for all those years? Because you write your own material. And I also, I'm not going to apologize. So here's a joke. So Mrs. McMillan is at home, and she hears a knock on the door, and she goes and opens the door, and there's her husband's friend, Patty. He's just standing there. She's like, oh, Patty, where's my husband? He went with you down to the brewery. Where'd he go? And Patty shook his head. Oh, Mrs. McMillan, it was tragic. Tragic accident down at the brewery. Your husband fell into a vat of Guinness, and he drowned. Mrs. McMillan, she starts crying. Oh, don't tell me that. Tell me, Patty, at least did he go quickly? Patty shakes his head. Not really. He got out three times to pee.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done.
There's your joke.
Well done.
Thank you.
With the accent, too.
Listen, I try. You got to sell it. That's what you got to do. You try to. I know my, you know, you got to put in what you can. So there you go. It's March. I told a little Irish joke. All right, now, speaking of jokes, I'm sorry. It's been a rough season for our beloved Blackhawks. They were in Anaheim yesterday. Things did not go as planned. You can hear it all on the Blackhawks Express. Ooh, there's your Blackhawks Express. Next game tomorrow, Tuesday, versus Colorado. Pregame is at 7. Puck drops at 7:30. Rough season for the Blackhawks. But we know they will be doing all the tinkering they can in the offseason. And next year will be different. Right? We have no reason to think otherwise. All right, if you're just getting up and you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm running a little late, maybe I'll just get in the car and I'll throw on some Axe body spray. That'll drive the ladies crazy when I get to work. That's perfect. I'm going to grab myself a cup of coffee and a smoke, put some Axe body spray on, and just get to work. No, be very careful. Dan, I know that's your M.O. normally.
That's
you like to come into work.
Back in my single days,
right,
man.
Man, that Axe body spray. Does it work the way it showed on? Well, you're married. It must have attracted.
Yes, I guess. That's exactly how it happened.
Very nice. You doused yourself in the spray?
Mm-hmm.
Police in Maryland say a car blew up when a man inside lit a cigarette after spritzing himself with an aerosol body spray. See, sometimes nature just takes care of itself. The cigarette and spray combination caused, quote, a sudden and violent expansion of the air molecules, end quote, in the car, creating a boom that pushed the roof up, shattered the front window, and blew the doors open. How much spray did this guy use? And how big a cigarette was he lighting? One of those cartoon, those big plastic fake cigars where you need a flamethrower to light it? That is ridiculous. Police say the driver appeared unharmed and was taken to the hospital to check for hearing damage, but the county police said on its social media accounts that the man was taken to a burn unit with serious injuries. How could you not be, unfortunately? I can't imagine the explosion in your car that would push the roof up, blow the doors open, and shatter the windshield. And you not be, one, to be alive is phenomenal, but to not be burned, that'd be miraculous. And it doesn't sound, I don't know. You would hope that people would be smart enough to know that open flames and aerosol do not mix. But maybe he had already sprayed himself and he was feeling so good about himself and so sassy that he just thought, I'm gonna avoid the rush and light my after cigarette right now. And that's when things turned very, very ugly. Well, that's a shame. He has not been identified. Probably best. You don't want that. If that's you, you don't want your name getting out. Hey, you're the body spray guy who blew up your car, right? No, that was my identical twin. Oh, really? I didn't know you had an identical twin.
Why does he have your same name?
I don't know. Dad, quit asking me these questions. That's why I know you don't have a twin. I'm your father. And I raised you better. You know it's always high karate when you're going out. That doesn't burn.
What, as a younger man who's never experienced the pleasure of high karate, what did it smell like?
You're asking the wrong guy, because I can't smell anything. But I do remember my dad had a bottle of high karate. Oh, no, it was Old Spice, because it was the one that looked like the Scrimshaw.
Mm.
So it was Old Spice. My dad had never been to sea, as far as I know. He was not a longshoreman, or he was in the Army. He wasn't in the Navy. But he had a bottle of that. And then for a while, I dated a girl who liked polo. And so even though I couldn't smell it, I would put some polo on. I don't know if it worked its magic.
Oh, I had forgotten about your no smell.
Yeah, my no smell. That's why. I just go with my natural musk, Dan. I figure that's enough for
and
me.
And we come full circle.
That's
those
it.
Kids.
All the musk. All right. Well, thank you for listening and being part of the program. Nick will be back with you tomorrow. Thank you, Dan, Esmeralda. Vic, thank you. Let's wrap. Oh, and I'll be in for Patty tomorrow nights from 11 to 2. So you got to see me again tomorrow, Dan. What do you think of that?
I'm very happy.
I am as well.